It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Republicans in the state legislature are urging Governor Wolf to sign into law legislation they say would help keep Pennsylvania's best teachers in the classroom and raise the level of student achievement. It's called the Protecting Excellent Teachers Act. It was passed this week, and it would end the practice of layoffs based on seniority. In other words, the last teacher hired is the first person fired, regardless of his or her impact on students. But even if the governor signs the bill, and he's saying he won't, will teachers be fairly assessed, and what will the impact on students be then? Today, we're discussing the issue with the bill's author, Representative Steve Bloom, a Republican from Cumberland County, and Pittsburgh Federation of Teachers President Nina Esposito Viscaitis. Welcome to Essential Pittsburgh to you both. And we have, I understand we have you both on the line, Representative Steve Bloom and Pittsburgh Federation of Teachers President Nina Esposito Viscaitis. Welcome to you both.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We will take your email and Twitter questions today at ESSPGH at WESA.FM. Again, on Twitter at ESSPGH, should teacher layoffs be based on seniority or a rating system? Again, ESSPGH at WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH. Representative Steve Bloom, let's begin with you. What led you to draft this legislation?
We've got a situation in Pennsylvania now under current law where districts are mandated to lay teachers off if they have to make a layoff strictly based on blind seniority. So we have situations like happened several years ago in Pittsburgh where a district decides to lay off teachers and they have to lay off some of the best teachers, some of the distinguished, proficient teachers. And my bill simply corrects that by allowing a mixture, and it's not an either or. Seniority still plays a large role in the process, but allows the actual teacher evaluation data to come into play when a district makes an economic layoff so that we keep those top-performing teachers, which make up 98% of all teachers, by the way, the distinguished and proficient teachers, we keep them in the classroom with the kids, and if anyone does have to be laid off in that unfortunate circumstance, that we make sure that that person would not be one of our best teachers, but instead would be a failing teacher.
And, of course, a lot of the concern here comes down to deciding how you measure the proficiency.
Sure.
How do you determine a teacher's effectiveness? And as you say, 30% of a teacher's rating is now based on student performance on state standardized tests.
That's not exactly right either. I mean, if you look at the matrix, which was adopted back in 2012, and it was actually piloted earlier in Pittsburgh, and I think the other guest you have on actually was key in establishing and setting up that system initially and did a lot of work and took a leadership role in setting up this evaluation matrix we have in Pennsylvania. 50% of the matrix is traditional classroom observation. 20% has to do with elective, which each particular school district would choose for themselves. 15% is teacher-specific, which measures student growth and the achievement on static testing. And then there's school building level data and performance profile. So it's a really well-balanced matrix. And again, most teachers are thriving under it. We have literally 98.2% of teachers are proficient and distinguished. And my bill would simply say that if we're going to make a layoff, before we even touch any of those great teachers, those excellent teachers, let's take a look at those very few 1.8% of teachers who are either failing or need improvement, so we keep those best teachers in the classrooms with the kids.
Okay, and Representative Bloom, just to clarify here, the executive director of the Pennsylvania Association of School Administrators, Jim Buckhite, who is a proponent of your legislation, in fact, he is the one who said that among his concerns, he cites a 30% figure. 30% of a teacher's rating is now based on student performance on state standardized tests. And he says great teachers in poor-performing schools can come out looking bad, while lesser teachers in better-performing schools can seem great.
Well, if there is a school district, for example, if that's true, and I'm not sure that's entirely accurate, but, you know, Jim has been very supportive of this legislation, as has the Pennsylvania School Board Association, the Pennsylvania School Superintendents. If that's true, if you're looking at a particular district that has a number of failing teachers, which, again, they're very rare to begin with, the split there is still going to be based on seniority. So seniority would win the day in that case anyway if you're comparing several failing teachers in a situation where an economic layoff has to be made. So the law is clear that seniority remains in place for every other purpose, including as a tiebreaker, where you have teachers in the same rating category who are being possibly considered for layoff.
And I guess part of what I'm bringing up here is that, it would seem obvious that we would recognize a failing teacher when we see one, but it may not be all that easy to determine. And so the question then becomes, can a rating system, any rating system in this case, be misleading?
Right. And you know, there's going to be no perfect rating system. The old system was simply 100% based on observation in the classroom. So you had the anecdotal cases where a particular administrator didn't like a teacher, and they could make that teacher's life miserable and career miserable simply by giving bad evaluations. Now we've taken that down with the help of the teachers. I mean, the teachers were the one that helped formulate this under the Rendell administration. It was piloted, and then it was finally enacted into law in 2012. Teachers had a key role in making sure this was a more fair, balanced, and realistic system, although, as you point out accurately, there is no evaluation system that's going to be completely perfect. But this is, if you look at the results tend to establish that, yes, this is a very reasonable process because most teachers are doing fantastically under it, and it's only this small percentage. And the failing teacher under this, keep in mind, is literally earning a 16% score out of the possible criteria. So they're doing extremely poorly when they ever get rated failing. And again, that's what we're looking at. We're looking at if there's going to be a layoff, which we don't want there to be a layoff, but if there is, let's look at that teacher before we look at the other teachers who are doing so much better for the kids.
Nina Esposito-Vizcaitis, let me bring you into the conversation. Why should teacher layoffs be based on last teacher hired, first person fired?
Well, you know what? You've already talked about some of it here, to be honest. I totally agree with Mr. Buchheit. The present evaluation system absolutely unfairly affects teachers who work with children in poverty, or children in the urban areas. I think they are absolutely unfairly targeted in that way. But I also want to say this bill is solving a problem that really doesn't exist and ignoring the problem that does, because it's a distraction to what we should be talking about. We should be talking about adequate, sustainable, and equitably distributed education funding. And it's a real issue that we're talking about this issue when we can't get our schools funded. We know that legislation should be focusing on fixing education funding in Pennsylvania, which is the worst in all of our states when it comes to distributing education funding. We should be much more concerned about that.
Okay, well, let's as long as you've brought that up, let's talk about education funding. Governor Wolf, who has problems with this legislation, Representative Bloom, even though it has a lot of support in the legislature, the governor's saying he'll veto it. He says the real focus of the legislation, should be on giving schools the resources they need to prevent layoffs from happening in the first place. What about the governor's point?
We should be talking about supporting teachers and making sure that, and our students, particularly our students, have the resources they need to be successful. That's the absolute issue we should talk about. So I'm totally behind Governor Wolf on this.
Representative Bloom, has the legislature given the school districts the resources they need?
And that's what I was going to try to say. I mean, if you look at even the budget we just enacted, which we had to do, we had to literally work around the governor by forming a coalition of the House and Senate Republicans with enough Democrats to override the governor's veto. We enacted an additional $200 million on top of the roughly $7 billion we already spend on public schools at the state level in Pennsylvania. We are right up there, and when you look at spending on schools in Pennsylvania, it's about sixth in the nation, which we're sixth in population. So we need to focus on not just adding more money to the pot, which can be important, but a key is to make the schools more effective, more accountable, more efficient, so that they're doing a better job of education. And that's why this bill is so important. It is part of the solution to the education situation in Pennsylvania to make sure that we're keeping the best teachers in the classrooms, because there's no other factor, no other single factor that's more important to a student's success than having an excellent teacher. So that's what this is about. Certainly, we want to continue to properly fund education, but that doesn't necessarily mean we give the governor everything he wants, because He was asking for probably about twice what we gave him on top of the billions that are already being spent.
But can we make this, is this all about how the governor feels? Because in the legislature, all the Democrats opposed this, and it was the same case last summer.
Not true at all. We had Senator Anthony Williams voted for the bill just this week, a Democrat from Philadelphia. In the House, we had three Democrats who gave us support on the key amendment that allowed the bill to be passed. And Governor Wolf actually, and this is from media reports, not just me saying this, the governor actually told those three Democrats on the day of the final vote, if they couldn't vote no, they should leave the floor. They should go on leave. And the media documented that they disappeared right before the vote. One of them was actually in the House gallery during the vote. She would have voted yes, but she voted no because the governor asked her to leave the floor because he didn't want to see Democratic legislators who support this voting for it.
Well,
Representative Bloom, you're ignoring a very important fact that $1 billion was cut, and that has not been refunded or brought back to the schools that was the cut during the Corbett era. That
has not been made back. That billion-dollar cut has been around now for four years. It was federal funding.
We really need to go one at a time, please, and we'll give you ample time to make your point. I do want to state, this may not be correct, but I cited a report from our content reporter, partner, Keystone Crossroads, and a report from Kevin McCrory, who was the one who said that all Democrats oppose this. So if you're saying that a Democrat did in fact vote in favor of this, then we stand corrected.
Senator Anthony Williams voted for it this week, and three Democrats voted for the key amendment that saved the bill in the House last June.
Okay, that having been said, we're still looking at a pretty big split here. So what is the compromise solution? Where do we find some middle ground on this?
In the funding, but also in the
approach to dealing with teacher layoffs, if in fact that has to be done.
I would suggest that this is in fact a compromise solution to begin with. The evaluation matrix that was passed in 2012 was negotiated. It was negotiated with the PSEA, which is the state's largest teacher union. Teachers had a tremendous amount of input in that, and that was a compromise to begin with. This bill is a compromise in that it still recognizes seniority. It still uses seniority as a tiebreaker, but it begins to finally allow us to look at some of the other objective data so that we're making sure that the dollars we're spending are getting the outcome we deserve for our kids and keeping those best teachers in the classrooms with the kids.
But Senator Bloom, I think you're missing a really important point. As you brought up, Pittsburgh was on the forefront of teacher accountability. So I know about it well here. We evaluate our teachers all year round. No one is evaluated like Pittsburgh teachers, and I'm sure teachers across the state. When supervisors find a teacher is ineffective, they're put on an improvement plan. They are given the support as they should be. And within a reasonable time, they are let go if they're not a good teacher and it can't be proven they are, and the union supports that. But you're saying, as you said, many of our teachers are evaluated constantly, and if they are bad teachers, we shouldn't wait till furlough time to find out who the bad teachers are. We're doing it continually all year round.
But the whole premise of this is simply if there is going to be a furlough, which sometimes there are, and it happens throughout school districts, and in fact it happens more typically in some of our poorest school districts where the newest teachers are penalized more so than teachers in more stably financial school districts. So the current system is actually penalizing our poorest school districts, hurting the teachers in those districts, and most importantly, hurting the kids in those districts who are deprived of excellent teachers who are the most proficient, distinguished teachers in those schools just because they're the newest.
But you're missing the point that what's hurting our poor school district is they're not getting the funding they need to support the kids and the teachers. That's what's hurting teachers. That's why teachers are leaving, and we're facing a real teaching shortage across our state and across our country.
We'll get back to that, some of the aspects of the funding issues here a little bit later on in this half hour. But I do want to remind our listeners it's Essential Pittsburgh, and we are talking about a bill that passed in the state legislature that would, it's called the Protecting Excellent Teachers Act, and it would end the practice of layoffs based on seniority. The author of that bill is with us, Representative Steve Bloom, a Republican from Cumberland County. Also on the line with us, Pittsburgh Federation of Teachers President Nina Esposito-Vizcaitis. And Nina, what is a fair way to rate teachers? And if there is one, why not use that as a determining factor in which teachers get laid off?
Absolutely. We do feel, and as I said, Pittsburgh has been on the forefront of that. Our teachers have been involved in it with our RISE program. Observations and work and support for teachers are the way that you should work with the teacher. You should support teacher. You can't just walk into teaching and be perfect at it. Experience matters. That has been shown over and over again, particularly through the MET study, which is often cited. So it is support for teachers and giving them the resources they need in the classroom with their students and working with exceptional leaders. We need exceptional leaders in every one of our schools that develop trust. Charlotte Danielson just had a new article out who's a leader in teacher evaluation, and it is what our whole evaluation system across the state is based on. And Charlotte has said over and over, you need to trust your administrator so you can work together in a supportive environment to make sure we want all of our teachers to be excellent. And that's the kind of environment you have to need to work in.
Christine in an email writes, I used to be a school librarian. It always frustrated me because when I would get observed and then reviewed, my supervisor would always tell me she gave me lower scores than I deserve because she wanted to make sure I had room to grow in my reviews. I fully believe that layoffs should be based on performance rather than seniority. However, how do you make sure the reviews the teachers are getting are fair and accurate? To avoid over-talking direct... never mind, that was not part of the text. So again, at the end of the what she wrote, Christine says, How do you make sure the reviews that teachers are getting are fair and accurate? I'll put that out there to you, Representative Bloom.
Well, part of it is, again, the system that is in place now, that's been in place since 2012, is a matrix of factors that reduced that purely subjective classroom observation element down to about half of, or exactly half of, the evaluation tool. So now that you can't, as we've talked about earlier, you can't completely remove subjectivity or even arbitrariness from any evaluation system, but you can make a decent system that does a really good job overall, which is what we have. We also believe there needs to be excellent training for the superintendents so that we can make sure that they know how to make sure that their teachers in their schools are being accurately assessed, and that confidence that Nina talked about. I mean, obviously, again, this is a bill that's very much pro-teacher, and I've talked to great teachers who love this bill. They don't want to have, they don't want to see their best prepared, hardest working, most effective colleagues laid off if there's a need for a layoff in a school district. Like all of us, they want to see the best teachers in the classroom. And again, this is not even about school funding. This, because in every year in Pennsylvania, because of fluctuations in population and other outside factors, every year there's going to be some school districts who are going to be laying off teachers. The idea is that when that happens, not that we want it to happen, but when it happens, we're making sure that the teacher that gets laid off is not going to be one of our best teachers.
And I want to remind our listeners that, unfortunately, we can't take your calls. We have had calls coming in. We need to take your emails today at esspgh@wesa.fm. Also on Twitter at esspgh. That is the way to get in with a comment or question. We apologize for that challenge that we're dealing with today. But again, you can reach us via email, esspgh@wesa.fm, also on Twitter, at esspgh. Senate Majority Leader Jake Corman says that when referring to this legislation of yours, Representative Bloom, that this is an accountability measure that the governor will have to swallow to get more money to fund education in this year's budget. What about that?
I mean, that's exactly the circumstance I was trying to describe a little earlier. We're not prepared to simply spend more money on public education in Pennsylvania if it's not linked with accountability measures to make our schools more effective. That's part of the bargain. And this is a reasonable, common sense. It's actually this approach in this bill, the idea that we should be evaluating teachers based on in the event of a layoff, making that decision based on performance rather than blind seniority is supported by 72% of Pennsylvanians. We have all the mainstream groups, with the exception of the teachers' unions, are supporting this. We have the public, the school board association, the superintendents association, business school business officials, business groups like the Pennsylvania Business Council, the State Chamber of Business and Industry, mainstream groups, not radical right or left-wing groups, but mainstream groups are all supporting this because it's such a common-sense measure just to make sure that we are more accountable. And before we look at the possibility of spending more on public education, which we've done every year for any of our lifetimes, every year the chunk of money that Pennsylvania taxpayers pay for public education, that they invest in public education, gets larger. It got larger by $200 million in this last budget we just passed. But we got to make sure we're linking that with accountability and a more effective environment in our schools.
And Nina, you're saying that the accountability is already there?
Absolutely. No one is more accountable than our teachers. No one. They are rated and evaluated each and every day. But we also know that teachers certainly matter, but experience matters. That has been shown repeatedly and repeatedly. And they are held accountable. We have the most stringent, I think, evaluation system that I have seen. And I do believe they're very accountable also. But we also need to talk about to make sure our schools are funded, to make sure they have the support that they need so they can be successful in this accountability.
And I fully agree that, you know, I agree with Nina that we are absolutely love our experienced teachers. We do recognize that they are, in fact, for the most part, some of our best teachers. But they're the ones that this bill is for. We're trying to make sure we're protecting our excellent teachers. And whether they're experienced or new, we want excellent teachers in the schools. That's the whole premise of this, and it's a tool we don't have now. Pennsylvania is one of only six states left in the country that mandates raw blind seniority as the only tool that a district can use when it has to make a layoff of a teacher. Now, we need to catch up with the rest of the nation and look at performance rather than just blind seniority.
But teachers are not the only ones whose jobs are determined by seniority when a round of layoffs occurs. Many other organizations conduct layoffs in the same manner. So why should this not factor in when it comes to conducting layoffs, seniority?
This bill does leave seniority in as the tiebreaker. So seniority has all the other roles it's always had. The only thing we're saying now is if it comes down to a layoff, we want to keep the best teachers in the classroom. To me, that's simple. You don't want a child to lose a year worth of education and get permanently behind because they are left with a teacher who's failing when they could have had a proficient or distinguished teacher but for the blind seniority system that's mandated in Pennsylvania right now.
And,
may I bring up something that the representative brought up at the very beginning when he said 28% are... No, for, not sorry, 98% are rated distinguished or proficient. Obviously, Pennsylvania is filled with excellent teachers. This bill is a distraction to what we should be talking about, which is adequate and fair funding.
Let's take a couple of Twitter comments. Peter on Twitter writes has a question. Why are the administrators evaluated on merit, but teachers aren't? Why are the administrators evaluated on merit, but the teachers aren't?
I think administrators and teachers are evaluated on merit. I'm not sure I understand that tweet.
No.
Okay, well, that's from Peter. Now on to Regis on Twitter, who writes, how many years of education experience do the politicians that develop the evaluation system possess?
Oh.
Well, I mean, you've got people that worked on this who are teachers. I mean, it wasn't just some legislator dreamed up this matrix. This was developed as a pilot program under Governor Randell. Folks like Nina contributed greatly to the whole process of establishing a reasonable and workable evaluation system. And so you had all the experts in the field working on it. Ultimately, it was Senator Ryan Aument who introduced the bill that got passed in 2012 and signed into law. But it was the result of years of teamwork with literally the smartest people in the educational environment in Pennsylvania.
But you know what I must say, Representative Bloom, even though Pittsburgh was on the forefront of the evaluation system and evaluation reform, I can't name two of our teachers that were involved in the system. So I don't know if that's a really accurate system, an accurate statement.
I'm afraid we've come to time on this for this segment, but I want to thank both of our guests for participating in this discussion, Representative Steve Bloom, Republican, Cumberland County, and Pittsburgh Federation of Teachers President Nina Esposito Viscaitis. Thank you both for being with us.
Thank you.
Coming up, the United States Golf Association says if you can't play 18, play 9. So we're heading to Schenley Park to take them up on it. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.